So, call a, what, I'm sorry. Yeah, call meeting order. 5:32. Roll call.
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present with the exception of Chair Steele.
Good. And at this time, if there's any public comment, anything that's not on the agenda, speaking to the public, you guys are good, okay. Then we move on to approve the meeting minutes for May 17th.
Good to me.
And I guess I got to make the motion and second it. I don't know that I can do that.
I can second it, I guess.
Okay, you make the motion. Committee.
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes of May 17, 2017.
Perfect. And I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye. Okay.
Discussion on Bob Mankin. Mankin, you're on.
Yes, Bob Mankin, as you know, that we've been attempting to find creative solutions to provide greater information to our community through our website and other means. And I had an opportunity to meet with Bob, who gave me a presentation on text push notifications, which I'll let him get into the details of this. But I just wanted the board to be informed at this, the committee to be informed at this time, that this technology exists. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Mankin.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take cap credit because I kind of beat you up for a meeting. So I appreciate you giving me the time and giving me the opportunity to come in today. So let's start with first kind of what prompted this. So Mike, when we came on board last fall, sort of walked into the wood chipper with the water heater thing. Unknowingly. Still got all those limbs, so I'm impressed. So that sort of prompted some of the gears turning a little bit, and then a few weeks ago, or a couple of months ago now, I was reading a press article and noticed that the CSD had looked into sort of re-engaging on your website and outreach to the community, perhaps spawned by the water meter thing. Could be any number of things. I admit I've been out of the loop. I don't come to meetings often as I used to. So you have your reasons for doing that. But with that article and press sort of prompted me to reach out to Mike and start a conversation. This is really just information only. I'm not here to pitch you anything or sell you anything. If you get something out of this and there's some interest or it could fill a need at some point in the future, by all means, reach out to me if you can further discuss this. I just want to give you some kind of high-level stuff today. So let's start with me. So my company name is Old River Media Group. So I do digital marketing services locally for small businesses. Primarily I do affiliate type marketing, lead generation, that sort of stuff. Recently got into more client stuff because the client business is a kind of needy business and it sort of exceeds the time I have in the day. So it's sort of a new thing for me, but I have been in digital marketing. Gosh, I've done e-commerce stuff going back to the 1990s. Or early 98, somewhere back in that. So I've been familiar with the internet, building websites, use commerce related stuff. This is sort of getting into a different level here. So that's just a little bit about me. We're primarily a digital marketing agency with focus on lead generation. And if you don't know what lead generation is, basically I sell phone calls. So I will generate phone calls by visiting my website, running an ad, there's a phone number that I control. And then I forward that to a customer and it basically becomes available with them. So we generate traffic on the internet through organic SEO, search engine optimization, social media marketing, PPC, which is comprised of Google AdWords, Facebook ads, and retargeting strategies. New this year is a big push for my company is online reputation management. It's becoming a core service here this year. And then mobile app development. Actually got into mobile apps, which is what we're here to discuss today. And that is was primarily supported by lead gen sites because there's a strategy involved there which needs nothing here, so we'll get into it. And then I got some requests, and one thing led another, few outsiders, a few people outside of my own personal interest. So that's kind of how that got started. There's just a couple examples of websites that those actually own both of those. Those are not client sites. So very Bay Area Dental Network and Solar Solutions team, obviously a dental vertical and a solar panel vertical. Those are just lead gen sites. So that's enough of that. And then local examples, there's a couple there. East County Day, if you weren't aware, East County Day does have an app and does run a subscription-based service, which was, I didn't realize what I was buying off of before I got into it. Building the app itself is straightforward enough, but integrating the subscription services using turned out to be a bit of a pain, but there it is. And he's got a pretty rapid subscriber base, and we're going to talk about an actual running example of his app. I apologize for the small screen if I brought on a recording.
It's fine, but I can see it.
And then Phoenix Rods is another example. Phoenix Rods is a fishing rods. They're out of Orange County. Happen to be some friends of mine, so that was how we connected there. They've got a pretty strong subscriber base of several thousand folks. We did some things for them on launch and so on here. That's enough about me. Let's get into what we're talking about today. The problem. So the problem is all centered around customer engagement, and I'm going to use the words customer and business. And it's really about the people that you serve is what I mean by customers and business, I mean the district. So I use those words interchangeably because the stack here I use for pitches for businesses, so I kind of flow between them. So just so we get the nomenclature down. The problem is effective communication and the outreach in the 24/7 society where mobile content dominates. And by mobile content dominating, I mean 70% of the traffic of the internet today is mobile-based. So it could be a laptop, cell phone, tablet, whatever. That's the majority of the internet traffic. And video is also a big player. Video is about 70% of the bandwidth going through the internet these days. So you've got to address, if you're going to get involved in customer engagement, you've got to consider that. You've got to consider the platform that the majority of people are on that you're trying to reach out to. Customer relationship is becoming more and more digital in nature. Obviously, traditional print advertising, flyers, that sort of stuff still has a purpose at times, but it's fading in comparison to somebody picking up their phone and checking in on Facebook or launching into Twitter or whatever they happen to be on. International self-service technology becoming how business interacts with their customers more and more every day. The big question, how can your business or how can the district improve outreach with your digital customers? In other words, taking your message and your outreach efforts to them where they are. Okay. In marketing, we call you want to put the right message in front of the right person at the right time. Okay. You can sort of adopt that methodology to the services district in terms of outreach on projects or whatever the case may be, that will get you the best results. So the solution I'm just going to talk about briefly today is mobile. Obviously, just some of the features that can be integrated into a mobile app. When I say mobile app, I mean actually a native app. It's an app that you find on Google Play Store and Apple iTunes. It's not a mobile capable website, two totally different things. A native app is actually custom built for a mobile platform, basically a cell phone and tablet. They're constructed quite differently. Most haven't even looked at it one time on mobile, but if I go to the phone, go to the district's website on the phone, we've obviously revamped that specific to mobile. There's a couple of qualms I have in there, but that's neither here nor there. It's miles ahead of where it was just a few years ago. It's probably everything you need in terms of a mobile website, what you got right now. So, with the idea of a mobile app in the background here, what can you do? You can build a hands-off contactless that you can interact with at any time. How big of a differentiator would that be for outreach and constituent satisfaction? How much is effective engagement worth to you in terms of heading off problems, being proactive versus reactive? That's really the cusp of that. And then how much would it set you apart from other special districts? Now, there are certain special districts that have mobile apps, nonprofits, other municipalities, and so on. Over the years, I've come to understand, particularly Virgil's influence, that the district has done a lot of
very looking for, but you're on the leading edge in terms of stuff you do, both with the tree stuff and the marshlands and all these things. You reach out and you get a little bit ahead of the curve in terms of just your average specialty those areas. So I've noticed that, and that also kind of contributed to me reaching out to Mike to just throw some ideas around. How could they improve outreach? So basically, it's all about driving engagement. That's the first part of what we call a funnel. I'm not going to get into sales funnel. It's a little bit too marketing for this type of environment. But what we're trying to do is encourage participation in local government process. Now, I haven't been to a lot of CSD meetings like this, as I mentioned, but if I come in here, I see the same six usual suspects. They're pretty accurate. You know them all by first name. So that's pretty much the way it goes until something flares up, right? And then they come out of the woodwork with, you know, pitchforks and torches and the whole nine yards. So we're looking to drive some new engagement, perhaps get some new people in that ask questions in advance, and they kind of become your messengers, if you will. Because if we're driving engagement through, and it doesn't have to be mobile, whatever tool, whether it's through your website that you revamped or whatever conduit you use, if you engage those folks, they turn into messengers for you. The word gets spread a little bit more in advance, and you can kind of be more proactive about policies and projects and stuff. The word gets out a little bit more, and people don't show up after the fact, feeling like nobody told me anything, or we didn't do anything. So that's kind of what we're trying to head off with. But so the potential dividends of building something like this, if you get increased community awareness, increased event participation, if you have a community style event, particularly with the community center here, we've got a lot of things going on. I realize there's third parties coming in a lot of cases, using the facility, renting the facility for their events. But on occasion, you also have city-specific or student town-specific events, and you can use a platform like this to get the word out. Additional revenue potential, I guess through that, there's just a teaser. You know, you can potentially put your rental queue in a mobile app if you want to do that. And then real biggie, which is kind of, again, what started the dialogue here, emergency and critical alert notifications. So the beauty of a cell phone, and I stuck one in the bed in this day, so the beauty of a cell phone is most people are running around with them and stupid things in their pocket all the time, right? It's just the nature of the beast. And I'm sure most of you do some form of texting, some amount of texting, or messengers, Bill mentioned earlier. And that's how you're interacting with your friends and family, right? Constantly back and forth. That's a little more personal one-on-one sort of engagement. With a mobile app, the biggest draw for a mobile app is push notifications. And push notifications basically are just like a text that runs through an app. So maybe it's got your app installed on your phone, and you push out, you can send a push to the app, their phone buzzes just like a text does. They're immediately notified what's going on. So whether it's you've got a pipe broken, it's blocking Discovery Bay Boulevard, you want to make people aware of it so they don't drive up on it, or whatever. You know, you've got, say if you were trying to keep up on the water main installation thing from last fall, you kind of do updates to that platform and get more direct one-to-one notification of what's going on. So that's the biggest hook of mobile, is right there. Now there's, you know, all these other features in there. The platform, the tool that I use for building that has like 45 and growing different features that can be built into it, but you know, probably two-thirds of those are not applicable to a special district or a nonprofit. But it's very robust in terms of things you can do with it. But I wanted to harp on the notifications, that's really the core of it. So the next step after engagement is building that awareness. And it goes back to what I just said a little bit ago about if you're engaging people, getting to tuning your message in a little more direct fashion, then you start increasing that awareness. And again, you get those many little messengers out there. So you have the people that have the app, they love it, they open it all the time, they stay on top of what's going on with the services district, and then they talk to all the friends. So now you've got messengers running around everywhere getting the latest and greatest, literally to the second if you're pushing out notifications, and they're spreading the word a little bit more. So increased engagement leads to increased awareness. That's generally the idea. So better, you know, just some quickie bullet points, better advanced notice of projects, reports in the community, communicate, since you're going the extra mile, again, because you're ahead of that curve. You're doing those things that maybe some other districts and municipalities are not doing. Better dialogue promotes proactive results versus reactive damage control. And again, I'm teasing you, of course, with the water being coming from last year. But, you know, perhaps in a proactive world, and the message has gotten out a little better, you wouldn't have all those folks showing up in the meeting, making your lives a little miserable for 3 weeks. So that's sort of what we're trying to potentially avoid with something like this.
Okay, and once you've got the engagement going, it's about maintaining the engagement. So in other words, you don't want somebody to just spaz you out, but, oh, that's cute, You should offer a phone, that's the last time you turn it on, you never launch it again. That's one of the unfortunate downsides of mobile apps. If you don't have a steady stream of content, that's definitely a big caveat which would be in play here. If you don't have a steady stream of content, people lose interest. They'll uninstall almost as quickly as they install it. So maintaining engagement is important. It talks again about push, and push again those instantaneous notifications about what's going on. In the case of the CSD, I was trying to come up with some examples. Emergency situations are the logical one, which are few and far between, hopefully way far between, because it's going to be that sort of headache, but just announcing board meetings, committee meetings, whatever. A push or two a week is a good steady stream of content for the organization like this. That's probably about a week. It's not like a staff member's monitoring this thing, you know, a couple hours a day. It's not anything like that. It's not required. It mentions geolocation. You can use that or not. I can basically, if I'm just, the abilities of push are such with geolocation, but if I wanted to do that look better than 5 miles of where I'm standing right now with a push notification, I can set up to do that. And it wouldn't reach anybody beyond that. So the community, all the people who went to work in San Jose this morning, if I sent out a push with a geo around it, they wouldn't necessarily hear what's going on. That may or may not have a benefit to you, just mentioning that. And again, goes back to something else like I said earlier, we live in a society where people are always on their phones, or they're always mobile. You know, we just, the days of sitting around, reading the newspaper, and you know, the lazy boy watching TV, some are still engaged in that, but not a lot. You know, mobile 24/7 sort of society. So the idea is to put your messages when you need to, right from these people over there. People always choose a path of least resistance, so if you build something like this, a platform like this, and provide this steady stream of content, you can create that awareness and that affinity for your conduit so people stay engaged. And they appreciate the fact that you're keeping them aware and you're keeping them informed within their busy lifestyle. You want to hit them in stride, as you were saying, just like a quarterback hitting a guy in stride. You don't want them to have to hold up and wait for you to go through the ball. You're just going to hit and start to see the game. Affordability. Now, in the past, mobile apps, and there's still a few years ago, mobile app is a $30,000 to $40,000 conversation before you even get started. You know, more features you go into it. And they're still out there. Custom apps, truly custom apps, are very expensive propositions because they generally got their database behind them. For example, if you were trying to add your billing, paying water bills into something like a mobile app. That's a very expensive proposition. It's a customer, and that's not the discussion we're having here. So previously, only large corporations would really put that sort of bill, but the tools that are available here in the platform that I use for building mobile apps is very affordable. You're talking about a $2,000 bill and a monthly of, I used to say $100 monthly, but I've actually kind of changed the mindset there. I kind of bump it monthly to say $150 as a monthly recurring. Why? Because I'm building in the $50 a little bit of advertising for you. Because you can have the best mobile app on the planet, or the best flyer, or the best billboard, or whatever. But if you park that baby in Montana, nobody's going to see it. Same thing with a mobile app. If you just throw it up on the iTunes store, you don't tell anybody about it, or you don't consistently broadcast it, it's out there. Nobody's going to see it, nobody's going to download it, nobody's going to use it. You don't want to get in that situation. So, again, 2K is really what you're staring at, and a little bit of monthly. Updates, the platform that I use for building these, their claims, and I have no way of verifying it, they claim they are responsible for 20% of the apps in the Apple iTunes store.
So they're not a small player. They're a stable player. They've been around for years. It used to be a San Francisco company. They moved down to San Diego last year. They've been around a while. They're stable. They're good to go. They have a major software release actually just last week, which I'm not even up to speed on. Kind of interrupt on that whole deal here because I have some stuff in here that no longer applies. So that's it. This is just a quick summary. This is actually a feature list from a nonprofit, which is probably as close as I would get to the special district needs. Just features that would be that can be included in that information. You can do video aggregation and program right here. Bush being the biggest locations, not so much. We do survey advantageous events. Social Connect, Mike, do you have anything besides Facebook for the district? You don't use Twitter or anything?
I'm sorry?
We don't use Twitter,
no, yeah. Just Facebook.
Right, so just strictly Facebook. So you can have Facebook integrated in the app. Just a second. You can have a link for adding to your mail list. We talked about the email list, right? Mm-hmm. And you say how a few people get engaged with it. And I went to the page today and I hadn't followed up on it since we talked. It was a page and I went, all the way down to the bottom of the small town. That's part of the reason your email list is not getting engaged with your mail. So I'm not saying you want to bunch of people on the email list, but if you did want to build an email list, you got to turn that call to action into a bigger button. Not encouraging.
No, we're working on it. We have a fly-in now. We'll talk about
I
later.
Mean, you know,
yeah, just started a couple days ago.
Okay, here we go. That's the way to do it. Any feature you got on your website, just kind of email or whatever, that you want people to engage with, you got to stick it right from the nose. Because attention span is 15 seconds. And so you got to fix the mission. So just a feature set, donation doesn't begin to serve the nonprofit district. So I was going to do a live app demo. I'm going to kind of pass on that because I'm not actually talking about it. It's anticipated. You saw the ECT app, Phoenix Rods app. You can look at some of the features there. You can download either one of those apps. Mike's got a free version of ECT. And Phoenix Rods is, of course, free. And you can just kind of hit the buttons and see what goes on there. You're familiar with all the apps, I'm sure, to some degree, so I'm going to go there. Now, getting away from mobile apps entirely, again, just on the subject of outreach, other possibilities for you that you can consider SMS, just straight up text messaging. There are platforms that you can buy, subscribe to, that do straight up text messaging. I don't particularly like them. I have used one for a particular client because of the cost of it. I just don't see the bang for the buck there, so I don't recommend it. Just plain as and then there's Messenger and chatbots. Anybody ever heard of a chatbot?
Yeah.
You know what a chatbot is? Have you been to the Golden State Warriors website or Facebook page?
I can't hear.
Golden State Warriors Facebook page?
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm not with the Golden State Warriors. I love them dearly, but I
okay, so a chatbot is an automated bot that runs on Messenger.
Yes.
Messenger is, as I mentioned earlier, it's a Facebook product, it's part of the platform. But they're investing heavily in it. And I see them actually bringing that up some folks because there's some features in it. This is a chatbot, and I use the example of Golden State Warriors because if you go to the Facebook page, on the button you see up there under the header is called a message, right? So you hit on that, you're going to be into the chatbot. It's just an automated sequence that's got intelligent automated replies built into it. They're feature rich in terms of videos, GIFs and all kinds of visual stuff in addition to just text, but it's all automated. Nobody has to do anything after it's built. Now, there are certainly possibilities of using chatbots for the district if they want to pursue that to answer sort of basic FAQ level questions. You know, I don't see that you guys have a bunch of traffic. I don't imagine that Carol's getting very silly questions all the time. I could be wrong. No?
No, they're all important questions.
Yeah. All important questions. Better choice of words. So if you were in a situation where you have a lot of traffic through social media on the website and you're getting buried in silly questions, the channel is a great fit for that because you can answer them automatically, unattended. Once you go to the bottom, it just goes. And they can be as simple as complex as you want to be. So I mentioned Golden State Warriors because if you want to actually see what the chatbot is and what it does, just go to their Facebook page. Click on the message saying you're in the bot. And you'll be in the bot forever until you actually opt out.
So that the beauty of that is if somebody got into a bot, say the CSP had a bot, just got into a bot, it's sort of like an email list that's all built on a Facebook platform. If you ever needed to reach those people, you just go over and message it and broadcast it. Simple as that. You don't have to use traditional email. So you just found a way for using outreach. Again, to bring to your attention, I'm not suggesting that's the way to go. So that's really it. If there's any questions beyond that, I actually went to the course on this, but if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer.
So I have a couple of comments, maybe a couple of questions.
Sure.
What prompted you to come forward? I'm excited to hear.
Sort of watched that I'm not in the water meter melee because I live in the West Side Council of Leaders when we moved in. But I witnessed that, and it's not the first public convention I've been to with the CSB, all the years I've been here. There's been others in the past, on different topics. They just get surfaced from time to time. It's cyclical, right? Ebb and flow. So, last year was water meters. Who knows what it'll be some pull down the road. So that got the wheels turning, and because, again, I'm doing marketing, I'm constantly thinking about outreach, I'm thinking, well, how could that be headlined? That started the gears turning, and then what really kicked it in was the press article, March kind of thing, maybe, that mentioned that you were re-engaging with the website and just talking about engaging with the public in general. So those two events put together probably the biggest.
Well, I'm excited. Now, I would like to pursue a little bit more with you to find out the direction you're headed in what you're presenting. When we talked before, when we put out the notice, we had an article in the press, and I don't know that too many people read it, 45 or 30-something, that's when we jumped up, showing that we had an email blast. So when we talked to digital performance.
Digital deployment.
I always said the mess. I looked for some push. In today's world, you've hit on most every note that I feel I embrace. We're getting too many apps on our phone to really manage manually. So it has to be push. It has to be notifications. We have to be able to turn it off and on, because if you've got three banks, you don't want them all hitting you four times a day. You're going to turn one of them off. You're going to turn secondary accounts and your big bulk money. You're going to listen to it. I really believe that we, to serve our citizens, our residents better, is we have to get the information out to them. I really don't think we can expect them to come to our website. A few will, the citizens that are in there and understand what this town is about, they'll come to the meetings and they'll look at the website, but far too few. I did ask whether our webmaster could do push, and the best we came out of it was the email blast. Did you guys explain that to Mark?
The email blast? Yeah, he's familiar with it.
Your email.
Is that the one you were joking about? You couldn't find it?
Well, I couldn't find your sign up. Open rates on email and the marketing world is a little bit different for other emails. In the marketing world, is like mid-teens, 15, 16%.
Yeah.
Opens on push or text is like 92%.
Okay. So I would like to get with you, and talk to you about what the direction we should be taking is push. Mm-hmm. We've got to get an app. You're right. There were 50,000 would have been a small number many years ago to try to get into this field. You're right. But now it's affordable. You look at WordPress. WordPress used to almost need a programmer behind it. It was so simple to get in and post. So, yeah, let's talk some more. I like the idea, and I think it's a direction we need to take as a town.
Yeah, I only do WordPress and only out of necessity. Quite frankly, I hate web design. I'm going to do it out of necessity. And at some point, I've used hired vendors to do a few sites. Still have to do my own. My main site for order gate is down now because I'm doing the revision on it, sort of stuff. So I bring on team members for that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And as the reputation management I mentioned is a core offering and mobile picks up, those are things that I oversee when I actually do the presence of my team members.
Yeah. Great presentation. You nailed it. Your bullets are right on.
There is a push possibility, but the thing is, with the website, the push is only going to be desktop based. Yep. And again, 70% mobile traffic, and you're missing that.
I know it.
You only hit 30% of people.
Yep.
Whereas mobile push, again, almost everybody has a phone in one of the things.
And the problem with the email blast, it's not a problem. We make progress by doing the email blast, but many people don't pick up email instantaneous. They'll pick it up at the end of the day. Some pick it up at the end of the week. Some don't even look at it. They've got an inbox that's got 2,000 emails. And they filter through it visually and may not start. Yeah. So it's got to be underway.
You're right.
And I know 4T's, you're on 4T's, and I think, oh, yeah. 4T's is just starting to use, I don't know if you've noticed, they've now started push notifications. So upcoming tournaments, you'll look at your 4T's icon and you'll see a one or a two or a three, depending on how many messages they have sitting back. So they're doing it slowly. I think it's maybe because we've got an older population. We don't catch up as quick. But it's working.
Yeah.
It's working. 4T's is becoming better and better, and what you're proposing here, it's a direction you got.
Yeah, I recognize the demographic of Discovery Data such that mobile apps are not necessarily the ideal. There's nothing that's going to be ideal because they're very awesome binary, in a way, demographic here.
Yeah.
We have the retired community, and then we have the commuters, the better community. Almost nothing in between. So I'm impressed with that you're savvy on that, on the technology and all, not everybody is. And so I, you know, have doubts in my mind about the reach that you get and the number of dollars you get with the other community. I think on the west side, in the commuter community, if you will, you probably have a lot more reach there, but I'm just thankful that you stick on that.
Yeah.
I appreciate you guys taking the time to call me.
No, it's good. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time.
Available down the road if you think it makes sense to plug in. We'll pick up the conversation in more detail. Actually, we would, on a subsequent conversation, we would actually build a demo of what we would propose to you and then bring in a working demo where we hit buttons on the screen and all that stuff and shape what we
do. Well, if it's good with you, I'll try to set up a time when you can sit down and have some.
We'll have him work with staff.
Staff?
Yeah.
I'm out of line. Okay.
You can talk
we're
going to
work with staff. I'll work with staff.
He's going to work with me, and I'm going to work with staff.
Okay. Deal.
You guys, I appreciate it.
Okay, you got it. Thank you. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks.
Any other questions? Okay. Next up is thank you.
Was there any public comment?
No, I think it's a good idea. You've got to get past this legalistic notification that you're hanging your hat on. Notifications for the newspaper, the print is so small, I have to have a magnifying glass to read it. When you're talking about a rate increase, we're going to talk about a budget. You are applying exactly what the law requires you to do as far as notification, but you're not going anything past it. And I think you leave the public out. I'm in favor.
But it costs money to go beyond, so that's your taxpayer's money you're paying.
This didn't sound that expensive.
No, this is
this
that thing
right
here.
One feature I left out, I'll just mention real quick on that. Push notifications in the tool or the platform that we're using can be a simple text. Think of it, it's not quite Twitter limit in terms of character limit, but just think of it as a raw text, right? It's just that. But our push notifications can also break out to more robust informative articles. So if you have something coming up, a good project that you need to be aware of, the push is just to say, hey, go here for a big deal.
Sure.
So all they gotta do is really just click on the push and it takes them to say a web page on the account website and off you go. So you don't have to cram, you know, 5,000 words into a stupid little screen like that. It's not bad.
Could I ask you at this point, have you signed up for email blast?
Yes, sir. I do have to do the link today.
Before you leave here, I'll make sure you know how to do it.
Okay.
You got to do it.
Well, if I'm
Bill, are you signed up?
I'm signed up.
Yes, sir.
I'm getting all your notifications.
Yes, sir.
Good. Perfect. And thanks for correcting me.
No, it wasn't a correction.
Okay.
I work for you.
Update on stationary message board.
Okay, so I have some information. Somebody costs have been updated because our quotation or quotes from them have expired. We started the process so long ago. So I got updated quotes on pricing. And the price of the sign actually went down $100.
Good.
sale they had before.
Yes, yes. One thing that did go up, however, was originally they gave us the impression that the permitting costs were included in the installation cost based on the wording here, and I clarified that, and it is not. It is billed separately and itemized at the end. So I did a breakdown on the front, so it shows all the costs. I don't have an electrical quote yet. He's still getting back to me. It's one thing out of Tracy. And he does occasionally do installation as well. So I'm going to get a quote from him on both, because if that is cheaper, you know, we combine it with him, so we could, you know, kind of reduce the cost there a little bit. So as it stands right now, without electrical hookups, it's around $31,000. It'll be double-sided. And then I spoke with Virgil about some plot plans and site plans, and he directed me to ones that we have when we took over ownership of the community center here. So we have some that are already on file, so I made some copies of those. I don't know if any of those would work, or if we would have to actually hire someone else to draw current plot plans. I don't know how specific they want them. I'm not familiar with that process. There's just some examples in this handout, so maybe that could be something we could not have to pay someone to do. Or they said, you know, if you have someone in-house do it yourself, maybe Virgil or Brian would be able to, I don't know, if you know, run them before, so to submit that to the science. So these are all for the community center location, because the Highway 4 is completely off the table based on Caltrans specifications. We don't need any of the qualifications because it is a highway and so forth for that. So this is just specific to the community center site.
So the only, there were some other places we looked, but primarily we looked at either the place that we put the, I call it a ticker board.
Yes.
The construction grade, which is right by our property, outside of our property, and people have become familiar with seeing that. That's one location, and then the community center. Corner, which is what Chris brought up right here, is not our property. So I mean, that's the church.
I'm not sure if that's a church property either. That, I don't know, we'd have to look at that parcel because it's not the church that are putting up all those crisscross signs. It's
no,
the
it's the town.
So that may be no, I or think that I, maybe Hoffman.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's also where the ticker board is, there's some problems with that side as well. I spoke with Sue, and that's still under Contra Costa County Sanitation District 19. So we don't own that yet. She's in the process of, for the past couple of years, she's trying to get that over to us, so it's still not our property.
So part of the issue was is we, because there was three potential properties, and we kind of brought it to the board in an open meeting saying, give us some direction because this is sucking up huge amounts of staff time. You know, to look into this, not only just us, but county and everything else. And so we wanted some focus, and they said, well, we don't have enough information. So I don't think we're giving you a lot more information except that one side is completely
eliminated. I think it's a great job.
And so so we're looking at where well 5 is, where the ticker board, the mobile one is, well, and then potentially out here, out front. I don't know of any other property that we would, some people mentioned potentially on Bixler Road. Did you look into it? We don't own any parcels.
We don't own anything. We do maintain part of the easements only on part of the road, though, so it would be kind of...
And those are maintenance things,
yes,
that we do on behalf of the county.
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't know how viable it is to say, hey, county, can we put a sign on your property? And, you know, I don't see that flying there. But, so, I mean, we're really kind of down to, do you want it at the community center, or do you want it at 5, or is there another place that we can look into? And that's where we're at. And then, if they want us to move forward, we'll move forward. If they want to reconsider and think about other options, they can do that too. I don't know where else to go.
So I think the two options that we have are good, but we're lacking the one on 105.
It's 104, actually.
Oh, 104, sorry.
Okay, 104. Ticker board, the location is easier for me. So do we have an idea of what it would take to get that? Now, try not to consume any more of the time trying to analyze.
I think we, if that's what we're going to do, we would say, all right, here's a not to exceed, and I think you literally have to go through through the process to find out what it's going to take. Because you have to apply for the, do the drawings, apply for the permits, you got to get the contractors involved and whatever they got to do and to analyze the property. You have to have the electrician come out and talk about how do we hook up the electrical, all of that, if I'm correct.
And I know it's a bad assumption, but it could be a partial assumption that whatever the cost here, $30,000, could be close to what we would look at there if it were our property. We have no electrical out here right now.
I don't.
But we've got lights out there, so we can get to it.
Yes, we can get to it. Is what I was saying with that.
And the same thing with well four. Okay. So we might look at either one. I think that's the choices that we have. It's nice to have a choice.
Right.
So the dual sided would be here, the one on well four.
Well, that would be a consideration also.
Might save us money if we went to a single side.
And the issue becomes also, do you want to factor in, do you want people that are driving southbound on Discovery Bay Boulevard looking way over here to see what's being written when you may have cross traffic coming from the Clipper, which is just a few hundred feet up on the right. Lack of sidewalks on both sides of the street, it's only on one side, it's, and that's that side. If you want attention, you're looking this way at a double-sided sign, it's at four. So that's a consideration.
The thing is, there's so many options, and every month that we meet, we bring up another one or two. I'm going to stick with just two. Well, four, single-sided, community center, double-sided, period.
Right, now we can bring this back to the board and say, Here's what we have. This is where we narrowed it. We don't know of any other viable places to put it on Bixler Road that we could do it that becomes our property. So give us direction.
Okay. And I'd say I just did. The direction is two locations. There are no other options at this point.
Two. Yeah.
And I'll work with you to sell
it.
And the idea is that other towns have done this. They put up the signs. There's some that I kind of did an impartial survey, and about half of the folks in Discovery Bay that I talked to, mostly golf friends, about half of them said they thought it was a great idea, about half of them said that they didn't want to see it.
Yeah.
So it's not scientific in any means, but I think there's some that think we're going beyond a small town, and why are we doing that? And it's a big marketing tactic. We have used the ticker board to advise people on the blue green algae. I've said this before when I came to the different sessions, the water meter sessions. A majority of the people that I talked to, sometimes it might have only been one in the early morning, maybe six or seven in the afternoon. A majority of them said I came because I saw it on the ticker board. So it is being used. Again, that's not proof, but I think for the price that we pay, and I know the first thing that went out, and I know Bill Hewitt made mention on the figure of $80,000, I think is what we had. $80,000 was always that. Two signs, and it was like we were trying to make it so you wouldn't go over that. We're down into a smaller price. If we went to well four, we could see a savings, but there could be additional money because it's county for permits and some of the others. But if we get one more in, we don't have to use the ticker board to move it around. We can use it on Bixler or whatever we use in our standard board, maybe get two spots. But it's also a test case. To me, I don't mean to scoff at $30,000, but it's a small price to pay to get something in place that will be a fixed item and we can communicate to people, residents, can see it. And we'll see how it works. If it doesn't work, let me say it will work. It may not work to the level we want. If it does work to the level, then the hopes is we could expand this. We could put boards down by Lakeshore, down by the lakes, Syntax. Look at different locations and have work simultaneously is my understanding we can do that. So I'm not trying to go out there too far into the future and say that's what it's going to be, but the potential is there and you can't start until you get one up. And never would I go out and say put six signs up at once. It's a good start. Any other comments?
Questions? No, I think we have a good direction.
And I know that Bill's eager to say something. So, the public, anybody?
comments, so I know you made the comments, so give us something.
I made my thoughts known to you, but you know, you talk about the sign, and like the major thing that comes to mind, fireworks are illegal, or you can get hurt. Didn't do much good, did it?
Every year it doesn't do much.
It doesn't do any good. I think that type of communication at a cost of $30,000 at this time is probably not the right way to spend it. Okay.
Blue green algae, did you ever see that as you came in?
I've seen that. And I've seen the notices about the, you know, when you have the open houses for the meetings. But if you're, other than that, you know, a movie, I think I've seen it where it says that there's going to be a community center. Just don't find the from my perspective, the things being put on the sign are worth the cost of the sign.
Okay, no, that's
what good. You have. I mean, you have one now. I don't know if that's going to be owned.
Oh, actually, we own it. Okay.
Yeah, and I would love to ask him a question.
Yeah.
So, what would, just out of curiosity, how would you feel about the purchase of another sign? Because part of the, like we already have, the mobile sign, we own that, where we can reach both sides of the community more effectively. What are your thoughts on that trailer sign?
Well, one is, I have no idea what it costs.
It's probably, those are in probably the 7 to 10, I think, somewhere in that range. Yeah, 7 to 10 range, yeah.
Again, I don't know what you're trying to reach with the community. I mean, if you try to tell them about blue-green algae, there's in the papers, it's on KTVU Chat 2, I got called, you know, are we dying if I'm coming to visit you? You know, so, I mean, the blue-green algae is a problem. But I just don't know that these the notifications that you're going to put on signs, especially a fixed sign out here in front of the community center, what
bang
you're going to get for your
luck.
Right, yeah.
Some, you know, maybe I'm going too far with it, but you have one?
No, thank you.
The sign obviously has to have guidelines. So what is guidelines for you? You can't just put any, you know, somebody comes up and says, I want to, I've got some camping outing and I want to advertise it. So there's got to be rules and regulations to the use of the sign. But I see the possibility if it's meets with the regulations that we put together. The food truck, certain advertisements, the farmer's market, and maybe I'm out of base here, but because maybe those things aren't what we allow on that sign, but I see the possibility that a free concert. I see it in different parts of the paper, people trying to get information out. That could be another use of it. So I think it could be used for more than just food. But there are some other, you know, elections. You know, there's elections for that. I just stepped away. Can we just erase that? But there are some things, other things that we can find some use. And I think that we would have people, maybe not clamoring, but at least requesting information to be posted. And it's a different story. If you put it there, it might be a little bit different than if you put it here. I see if it goes there, it's a community. And I know all of them don't drive past it. If it goes here, it's more of a MAC sign. It bolsters the importance of the community center. I think it adds to it, sells it a little bit better. All the activities that are going on, and yes, it could fit, but the emphasis would be on advertising, more for what's going on in the communities, tennis courts, pickleball matches, things like that. So I think there's, you know, it depends on where we put it on the biggest use that we have.
So yeah, I think there's two points of view that are shared by almost 50-50, it seems like, in the community.
Yeah.
And this has been my experience. So this is why we have a board and maybe we can make the tough decisions. So
50% is pretty good.
we'll bring it to the
okay.
board.
Okay, so let's go forward with the cost. They wanted the cost. Let's at least make sure we've eliminated the other two. Are there any other possibilities in bringing up the board meeting?
Well, if they bring one up at the board meeting in another possible location, we'll be more than happy to go back and take a look at it.
But
we're not seeing it as obvious at this point.
This has been 3 months, and I know it does take staff time, so we'll see if we can bring it. And thank you.
When I got here, one of the things that I wanted to do is that we wanted to not only take on things, but try to make them as advanced as possible so that we're looked at as not a follower, but taking the lead in how we do things. And so one of the things that we wanted to focus on was better communication. And if we're going to do this on our website, let's upgrade our website so that we can really be proud of what we have, that we reach all segments of the community. And we were not there when it came to ADA compatibility. And there's two things that go along with ADA compatibility. One is what's a strict measure of the law, and then what is truly reaching out to connect with that community in a way that makes us website friendly to them. And so we've been working very diligently on that actually for several months. And I'm going to turn this now over to Carol to talk to you about some of the things that we're going to do to present to the board. We wanted to introduce it here first.
So pretty much the website accessibility is at the bottom of the page, right corner. You click on that and it'll lead you to the page where it follows exactly what other districts have, you know, as far as the laws and the guidelines and that sort of thing. So my job will be to maintain the website with alternative descriptions, with pictures, and also browser accessibility will be on that page, and that'll be something that the user will be able to look at those tools and utilize those tools as well, such as Explorer information, and then the PDF reader is another tool that they'll use. But for my job, the other thing is that anything that comes in through the mail, I would scan that document, or anything that's a PDF document, I would convert it to a JPEG, and that person that has that visual disability impairment, can use the screen reader to be able to read that document. So there's different things that I'll do that are different with my job, but everything is compliant along with digital deployment, which they've reviewed everything and has everything up to the law and compliant with that accessibility.
So yeah, we're pretty excited about that. And you can use, you can send your website actually to these test centers to have them test it out. And we've done that a couple times,
right.
And we're in good shape. And on the fly-in thing, I've noticed that comes down at the bottom of our thing. It says sign up for our email blast. I think we need to bring that up.
I already did. I set up a service ticket to digital deployment to have them recheck that, because that was supposed to be set up where it would come up. You would either click X out and it would not pop up again. It pops up every time.
Unless you hit remind me later.
Or if you hit remind me.
You want to get it above the fold, as you said.
So hopefully that will be cleared up, or if you X out, it won't come back again, because Mac did call on that. He signed up for it, and even though he signed up for it, it kept popping up. So that's
something. Go away.
So that's something that...
So there's a few bugs left, obviously, in this, but... we hope to have that worked out till 2 weeks from now. We'll do an actual presentation before the full board. And the other exciting thing that we've done is we now have listening devices available for the board meetings for anyone that's hearing impaired and need a listening device. I think we have four of them.
Yes.
Four of them now. So if somebody comes in and says, I have trouble hearing or whatever, here you go. We feel pretty good about that. And we think we're one of the few districts that are leading the way in this area.
And I was going to say on that I searched several other districts and Contra Costa Water, Templeton, CSD, those did have the website accessibility, but I don't believe the city of Brentwood has that. Also, another note on the sign up here, we have like 70 people, and we had just yesterday and today 5 people sign up. So it's that pop out's working for some people.
So it'll start to pencil.
Can I ask a question about the pop-up? So I don't know the CMS you use. Kevin, is it Drupal or Joomla?
Pardon me?
It's not WordPress based. It's Drupal or Joomla, probably.
I do not know anything really about how pop-up works. Is that what you're...
Well, it's just the foundation of the website. It's not that important. But I have a pop-up blocker on my desktop at home because otherwise it would be very all day. It doesn't get through my pop-up blocker. And just FYI, Google is building pop-up blockers into their future release of Chrome.
Yeah, I got it. And we should check with the team.
So I don't think I understand the question.
This has become an irritant to many people.
Oh, it already has.
So Google and others are creating software to eliminate it.
Oh, really?
Right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Google is building it into.
So we may be creating it, but it could be ineffective.
Got it. So hopefully, as soon as I get back in the office.
And if that's the case, we should put it into a location that is right there when we come to the site.
Okay.
A fixed location.
Oh, got it. Well, we do have the fixed location in several spots on the home page.
Quantity isn't as important as where it is when you come into the website.
It's right there on the home page, right there under the, let me pull up the website now. I mean, it is there.
Yeah.
If you don't want that sign up for that pop-up,
so we should check
I'll them. Check with them. I'll definitely check with them.
Good.
And have them either time in so it X's out as soon as the person X's on that. But it is under quick links. It's on the top and under quick links.
So we're still, it's always going to be a work in process
yes.
to stay modern. But we intend to do that.
Daily
So we'll be doing that daily battle on a monthly basis and trying to stay ahead of things.
This is another tip. Don't say sign up for an email list. Change your language, change your results.
Same
form. Or get creative with the way you word it. Big button with something creative on it will guarantee you that you're more often than your email list. That's sort of 1995.
I like that.
It's proven, actually. I could dig up some studies if you want to get creative, but it's a waste of time. But it does work.
While we're approving that, ask them if the language could be changed.
I will do that. I'm sure it can. That would be easy. I can change it myself. Actually, that's something I can do.
The question is for me.
Sorry.
Residents? Public? Okay. The only a couple of questions here is, with the ADA, there has to be, I know it's a lot of effort to get up to it, is there a certification for ADA? Are we meeting requirements fully, 70%? How do we know where we stand as a community?
I feel that digital deployment is on top of everything for maintaining the website, keeping it compliant with all aspects, not just ADA compliant, but everything. I think that they...
Meeting and exceeding.
Pardon me?
Meeting
and exceeding. Yes, I think, because they...
So the question would be, do we know if there is a standard for ADA?
There compliance. There is. There's laws.
Yes.
And we took a big webinar on it. We knew what we needed to do. From that webinar, we knew what we needed to be compliant to meet the law. We contacted Digital Deployment, told them, we want to be compliant with the law. We know these things require us to be compliant. But I don't think there's anybody that's out there that's saying ADA certified with a little... ribbon on it. I haven't seen that.
Okay. So, at least for the record, we believe we meet all current ADA laws.
All.
With respect to the laws.
And exceed.
And if there were any problems with any of the accessibility that someone may have, they can contact us in the office and we have that as well on that page for website accessibility on our website.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. No other questions on that? Future discussions. I would like to throw one out. Is, when we were in Napa, we had the opportunity to sit with the MP, ECCFB,
okay.
Board of Directors meeting.
Yeah.
Is that something we should look at?
In the context of?
When Helmut came in, he wanted to be extremely transparent, so we opened it up so that people could attend the meeting from their living room.
In terms of the
board meeting.
The video and the board meeting?
Yeah.
That brings on a whole other bunch of challenges that would need to be explored. There's maintenance, there's cost, there's storage, there's... there's been communities that I've heard good and bad things about, so it would be, need to be something that would have to be explored and discussed, and the pros and the cons fleshed out. How much staff time is involved, how much expenses that are involved, those kinds of things.
And I only bring it up for question because I don't know. It was nice to be able to attend when you were on the road. I thought it was pretty good, and I'm sure it's going to get better. Yeah.
Now, that was because their meetings were held, I could tell, in the chambers at the Brentwood Council Chambers. In Brentwood, my old agency, your old agency, has been videoing them for 15, 20 years. And they have a huge high key department to work with that.
Yeah.
And they've got multiple camera views, etc. You got to think about the audio in there. And so they're piggybacking on that. So it's not costing them, I don't think, anywhere near.
Okay.
But we are. It's something to consider.
Okay.
I'm sure there's a big budget for it, too.
Well, the investment's the biggest part, the maintenance, the IT portion of it, I don't know. And I know the ECCFPD is strapped for money, so for them to do it, it has to be that piggyback.
Fire away. It's funny you bring that up because every once in a while I forget to stick to somebody. The IT budget that the fire district has approved recently is a sticking point for me. It's on the order of $230,000. I kind of see the breakdown to understand it further, but I see payroll, some quarterly reports, and IT support for $230,000. It used to be like a $35,000 or $37,000 line item. How did it go from there to
this? That may be it. That may be a share of that. I don't know.
Multi-camera angles for $200,000. I mean, as much as they're pretty close to look at it, come on.
Okay.
The cost benefit. It's funny you brought it up because I just had come up last week and I asked him for the agenda item or the MOU or whatever it was. He sent it to me, but it did break down in detail. All I saw was payroll and IT support. I'm like, wow, I'm in the wrong business.
Well, good input. You mentioned the question. Any other questions, comments? So we know the path we're going.
Are you clear?
Yes. All right. Thank you.
We're all clear, Bob.
And Carol, can you make the matter? Okay. You need a motion to close this, or you
can motion to adjourn.
And I second.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.